Lamentations 3, starting in verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies.
Before we're seated, let's pray. And something that I forgot to mention was Lydia Seaman, a high schooler. She's come to youth group a few times. Last night, driving in a vehicle, she hit a moose, and she was taken, life-flighted to a university hospital. She's in I believe it's the neurological critical care unit. So let's pray for her and for the rest of the message. Father, we come before you and ask for Lydia, that you would bless her, that the bleeding on her brain would stop and dissipate. Father, that's our prayer. We ask that you'd be gracious to her according to your tender mercies, your compassions, and your loving kindness. We ask that you'd bless the family. Pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified through this, and folks would come to know you through this, and come to know you perhaps in salvation or in a deeper way as Savior and as friend and Lord. We ask that you would direct in this service, the rest of it, Lord, bless the children and the workers there. And Father, I pray that you would bless us as we look into your word. Be glorified in our sight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, how many in the course of your life have ever had one of your teachers say something like, "Now, class, today you're going to have to put on your thinking caps." Now think of this. How many have ever had a doctor or a nurse say something like this to you? "You won't feel a thing." Then proceed to inflict pain that on that 1 to 10 scale is at least an 8. I'm told the reason for that lie is so that you don't get nervous or have an anxiety attack before the procedure. How many of us would rather be fully informed before those painful procedures? How many say, "No, I don't want to know about it until after it hit me"? Okay. So what does all that have to do with this message? Message on God's gracious loving kindness. Well, we're looking at Hebrew words. Today we're looking at the word hesed, which is very difficult to define. So, church, you're going to have to put your thinking caps on. And I know that as soon as I say that, some will think, "Oh, great, I'll just turn off my brain, maybe look at Facebook or doodle or something on my phone till it's over." That's not what I want you to think, what I want you to feel, or definitely not what I want you to do. Okay, there's a great blessing, a wondrous treasure for those who will commit to finding it. This will be more of a meat-filled message, steak rather than meat. But I hope and trust it'll be a juicy, mouth-watering steak. That's my intention. Although I certainly can relate to the Far Side comic that shows a classroom full of students, and one of them with a head one-fourth the size of the rest has his hand as a teacher, "May I be excused? My brain is full." Okay. I want you to leave with a blessing. I wish I could take you on a journey through the Old Testament to develop the meaning of that word hased. Okay. The past few weeks, as we looked at the Hebrew word han, which is usually translated grace or favor in King James, and it han means a superior, condescending, bowing down to an inferior, and giving them an undeserved kindness of some sort. Okay. Almost always, han is used in a non-spiritual context or action. Hased is manifested, strangely enough, as either loving kindness or love, which always has a steadfastness, a faithfulness attached to it. Hence, great is thy faithfulness in the reading from Lamentations. It's either expressed as loving kindness or as reviling and envy. And how can one word have polar opposites? Well, recall, hased is difficult to define. In the Aramaic, Arabic, and Syriac languages, the negative use of hased predominates. But in Hebrew, where the Old Testament is written in it, except for a very few passages, the positive use of hased predominates. In fact, out of 249 times when hased is used in the Old Testament, it is translated only once as wicked thing in Leviticus 20:17 in its prohibition against incest. It's translated as reproach in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach, hased, to any people. And it's also translated shame in Proverbs 25:10. So three times out of 249 times, it's used in that negative sense. 149 times, it's translated mercy. 70 times, it's translated kindness or loving kindness. 12 times as goodness. And a few other times, it's kindly, merciful, favor, good, or goodliness. Okay? It's never translated as grace. So why are we studying hased in our study of grace? Well, because hased, though never translated grace, describes grace. An accurate description of hased is help is vital, help is needed. There's a second someone who is in a position to help the one who needs it. And that helper does so of his own freedom of choice. There's no obligation, the same as with han. No obligation on the part of the giver. So hased, someone needs help. A second someone is in a position to give it, and they freely choose to do so. That is a description of hased. And lack of time prevents us from a longer journey through God's Word. So I will summarize several passages. If you want to take notes that for the references, that's fine. But in 1 Kings 20, the whole chapter is talking about Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And he has huge army. He has 32 other kings allied with him. And he's going to attack, of all people, Ahab, king of Israel. Now, Ahab is a wicked king. But Ben-Hadad mocks the name of God. And so God moves not because of Ahab, but to defend his own honor, so to speak. And twice in 1 year, Israel's tiny armies, one of them was 7,000. Right? It says in 1 Kings 21, it says, Israel's armies look like two small flocks of kids. The Syrians filled the country. But twice, God moved and defeated Ben-Hadad's armies. Twice in 1 year. Once they said, well, the first battle, that was in the hills. And their God is a God of the hills. Let's meet him on the plains because our gods are gods of the plains. And then God wiped them out on the mountains, wiped them out on the plains, and Ben-Hadad is trapped in a city, cornered in a city, and it's all surrounded. And one of his servants said in 1 Kings 20:31, his servant said to him, Behold now, we have heard that the kings of our house, of the house of Israel, are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes on our heads. That's, I think, the idea of like a hangman's noose around our necks. And go out to the king of Israel, saying, we understand we're dead men. Peradventure, he will save our life. So where is Hesed there? We understand, we've heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings, are Hesed kings. We need help. They can give it to us. Will they freely give it? Hesed. We've heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. And they are like a dog in a dogfight, turning belly up. Complete, total surrender. 2 Samuel 2:5. The men of Jabesh-Gilead have risked their lives to recover the bodies of Saul and Jonathan, who were nailed to a city wall in shame and mockery. And they took those bodies and they buried them. They demonstrated Hesed. 2 Samuel 2:5. David sent messengers to the king, to the men, excuse me, of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have showed this kindness, this Hesed, to your Lord, even to Saul, and have buried him. Okay? So there's another use of that. Our third stop on this brief journey, Genesis 24:49. Abraham has sent his servant to find Isaac a wife, sent him back to his homeland, so to speak. And the servant says to Laban regarding Rebekah, if you will deal, this is Genesis 24:49, if you will deal kindly, if you will deal with Hesed and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, so that I may turn to the right hand or the left. He says, if you're going to show me Hesed, tell me. If you're going to show my master, Abraham, Hesed, tell me. If not, I will continue looking. Now, Laban was under no obligation to allow Rebekah to marry Isaac. He was under no obligation to give her. He, we know, did it of his own choice, his own free will. Are you getting a picture of Hesed? Our fourth stop, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly unto you. The Lord deal with Hesed unto you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband. She kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Now, most of us are familiar with that background. These two young ladies were widows, her daughters-in-law, and they said they would follow her. The Lord was under no obligation to provide these young widows with new husbands. They were under no obligation to follow her. The one turned back, Ruth, said, no, I will go with you. Out of pure love, she followed Naomi. Later in the book of Ruth, Boaz, who as a kinsman redeemer to Naomi, did have an obligation to her. But he was the second one, and he wanted to be the first. So he worked to where he could redeem her and her land. But it's never said that Boaz showed Hesed to Ruth. Instead, Boaz says that Ruth demonstrated Hesed toward him when she chose him, an older man, rather than the younger men. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness, more Hesed in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Right? She showed Hesed toward Naomi by following her, and then she showed Hesed to Boaz. Now, our fifth stop, Rahab, Joshua 2:12. Remember the story of Rahab. After she has received the spies with kindness, she says to them, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, Hesed, that you will also show kindness, hased, to my father's house, and give me a true token. She said, you were in help. I was in a position to aid you, and I freely gave it to you. Later, shortly, your armies are going to come and destroy the city. My family will need help. Will you then give aid to us? And in Genesis 19:19, this is a story of Lot and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot has been taken by the hand because he was so reluctant and led out of the city by the angels prior to its destruction. And Lot says to the angels, Genesis 19:19, "Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight." Han, okay? "You have bowed down and given me a favor. Have found grace in thy sight. And thou behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, thy hased, which thou didst show unto me in saving my life." Okay? He says, you didn't have to. I needed help. I was going to be destroyed with the wicked in the city. You came and helped me freely. Those are just six brief stops out of 249 in the Old Testament. Hased. Someone needs help. Someone else is able in a position where they can give that help, and they freely choose to do so. Hased. Now, I had you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20. Let's look in verses 14 through 17. 1 Samuel 20. Most of us are familiar again with David and Jonathan. Very close friends. As close as friends could be, perhaps. And Jonathan is saying now to David, verse 14, "And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, the hased, that I die not, but thou shalt also not cut off thy kindness, the hased, from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So, because of this, Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again. Why? Because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. David and Jonathan loved each other as each one loved himself. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to have toward our neighbor. The second great command. First great command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like in the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Jonathan and David did that. And David is in hiding from Saul, Jonathan's father. Saul wants to kill David. David is in need of help. Jonathan can give that help. And so he says, "I will show you hased. You show my family hased, even after you're set up as king." Jonathan loved David, and out of that love promised David he would show hased, not just to David, but to his house. And Jonathan also knew and believed that the Lord was going to set up David as king. Now, Jonathan, I don't think he knew that he was going to be killed shortly. But he knew that his household would need help and that David could provide it. And so Jonathan asked David, and they both agreed to this, "Show me and my family hased." Both swore to each other to do that out of their love for each other. That love prompted their promise. Their love led to their covenant. Their love for each other caused them to promise to have hased for each other. It was freely given. Now turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. This is years later. By the way, those of you who are at Gospel Club, does it sound familiar? We didn't teach the kids at Gospel Club any Hebrew, but one of the lessons was over David and Jonathan. Years later, David's king, Saul, and Jonathan have been killed in a battle. that battle that the men of Jabesh-Gilead went to retrieve their bodies. Verses 1 through 6, 2 Samuel 9. David said, "Is there not yet any that's left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness, hased, for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God, hased of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Ameliel, in Lodibar." And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Ameliel, from Lodibar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." It was the custom of the day, when a new king took the throne, that he wiped out, killed any relative of the previous king, so that nobody would have a claim to the throne that he just acquired. Mephibosheth, I'm sure, was fearful. How did he find me? He was in a foreign country. How did he know that? What does he want with me? I'm a cripple. What's he going to do to me? Is he going to kill me? That was the custom. Look in verse 7. David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness, hased, for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father." That was a king. That was a lot of land. The king has lots of land. "And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." See what hased is? See what hased does. Mephibosheth, lame, crippled, unable to work, needs help. David is king. He can provide help. And out of his love for Jonathan, seeks out Mephibosheth and freely gives Mephibosheth kindness. Hased, grace. No, it's not the word grace, but it's the action grace. It's what grace looks like. And Shakespeare said something like, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Grace by any other name would be just as amazing." Hased, freely given help, kindness, undeserved but needed. And God has demonstrated hased. Turn, if you will, to Exodus 34, where we camped last week. Both the words han and hased appear in Exodus 34. Remember, Israel has just violated the covenant, had a drunken, immoral party, and Moses has interceded for them and has asked, "Show me your glory," back previous chapter. And in verse 6, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, "The Lord," all caps, Jehovah or Yahweh, "the Lord God," Yahweh El, the strong God who is self-existent, who develops relationship with people. "The Lord God, merciful," not hased there, "and gracious," there's han, "long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." Goodness, there's the hased. God is abundant in goodness. "Keeping mercy," there's hased again. He keeps he's abundant in divine help to those who need it. He keeps that divine help for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father unto the children and the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. God's own statement, we said last week, about himself, his own description, that is his goodness right there in that one sentence, is God's goodness. God has demonstrated chesed. Why? It's in his nature to show chan, grace, condescension and giving undeserved favor. It's his nature to freely give help to those who need it. Numbers 14, 18, and 19, a parallel passage. Moses asked the Lord to forgive Israel based on God's great mercy. His great chesed. And he says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, chesed, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Does that sound familiar? This passage in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, God's declaration of himself appears seven other times in Scripture. Pardon, Moses says, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, thy chesed. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt until now, you've forgiven them over and over, and keep doing it, he says. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, this is Nehemiah's prayer of forgiveness as they are in captivity. Our fathers refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, became stubborn. And in their rebellion, appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon. Gracious, Han, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, of great chesed, and forsook them not. God does not forsake his people. Remember I said, always with chesed is the idea of steadfastness or faithfulness. God doesn't withdraw his loving kindness because he is a faithful God. It's his nature. God's chesed, his loving kindness. Loving kindness is an archaic word. We don't use it except for when we read it in the Scripture. But it is a good, accurate, one-word definition. So why is this crucial? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? Isaiah 59, 1 through 3 says this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath uttered perverseness. Bloody hands, perverse tongues, lying lips. And God is ready and willing to help those kind of people. But God will not help those who are stubborn and who do not come to him. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Chesed is the kind of love, the kind of loving kindness, where the object of that loving kindness is in a pitiful, miserable state. God, Han and Chesed, God condescends, a superior to an inferior, and gives an undeserved kindness. God is ready to help those who are miserable and in need and cannot help themselves. And he does it freely. We are all condemned, doomed, because of our sin. We needed help. Who can help us? We can't help ourselves. We are condemned. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, came to our aid. He rescued us, and he did it freely, based only upon his own free choice. He chose to help us. Because of his great love for us, because of his great love for his father. Just like David. Why did David show chesed to Mephibosheth? He didn't know Mephibosheth. But he loved his father. And out of his love for Jonathan, he showered kindness on Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't deserve it, nor do we. But God showers his kindness on us because of his nature. He is abundant in chesed, in goodness and truth. He keeps mercy, chesed, to thousands. So, what to do now? Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 say, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts," not your garments. Don't rip your garments. No outside show. Make it internal. And what's internal will show. "Rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious," Han, "and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness," great chesed. What do we do now? We turn to the Lord. In humility, in humbleness, in sincerity. Recognize there's nothing that I can do. I am in a state of helplessness. But God can save me in the person of Jesus Christ. God is good. God accepts us in Christ. In him, we're made righteous. God clothes us with his righteousness. Just like we put on our garments, figuratively, we take Christ's robes and put them on. His robes of righteousness. He took our robes of sin and suffered and paid the penalty for those. So now he can give us his robes for mine. Oh, wonderful exchange. Have you asked God for that exchange? Have you trusted Christ for his righteousness? If not, do so now. Even the disobedient prophet, Jonah, acknowledged God's goodness. Chapter 4, verse 2. Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish." He sees God have mercy, kindness, chesed on the city of Jonah, of Nineveh, that wicked city. And he says, "Just like I thought, God, you didn't kill them. You spared them, just like I knew, because you are a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness," chesed. Even the disobedient prophet knew that God would come to the help of those who turn to him, regardless of how wicked they may be. God's gracious chesed, his gracious, faithful, loving kindness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your grace, your loving kindness, for your willingness to allow us into your presence because of what Jesus has done. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We pray, Lord, for any here who are not trusting in Christ alone, for their entrance to you. We ask that they would turn to you this day. We praise you for who you are and that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. Amen.